I want to think about Tzfas Emes on Purim, and I want to do so by giving some background to what is, I believe, one of the most well-known mahalchim about Purim in general. It's a very, very, it's a combination of very classic ideas. I can't say I can pinpoint the first place that it comes up. It's definitely something which you find elements of in Maharal and Reb Tzadok, but you find it in a variety of contexts, and you don't have to be the most discerning reader of the Megillah to pick up on it. So I want to spend a little bit of time just giving over what is a very classic mahalach, a very classic approach to the world of Purim and to what the Nes of Purim is all about and to what exactly was the source of that miracle. And then I want to speak a little bit about some unique insights as Tzfas Emes has into that general approach. Let's start as follows. Many talk about, I want to just describe where that comes from. Purim being a holiday that in many ways is focused on Jewish unity, it's a holiday that's focused on Achdus. That you see elements of in the Megillah for sure. When Haman initially sells in Perek Gimel of Megillas Esther, when Haman initially tries to sell to Achashverosh, why we have to be nervous of the Jewish people. So part of what he refers to is that this is V'yomer Haman l'malach Achashverosh, yeshno am echad mefuzar mefurah ben ha'amim. We have a nation that is spread out amongst different areas of the Malchus. B'nai Yisrael are one nation, but they're really spread out. The simple pshat is that part of what Haman's referring to, as some of the Mefarshim explain, is here's the people you got to be nervous about. Because if you have one nation that's spread out in different areas, should they ever choose to rebel, they're going to be very well positioned to rebel against you and your leadership. But for others, they point out, certainly many of the Bali Machshava, Yeshno Am Echad Mefuzar Mefur Ben Ha'amim, that what gave Haman the koach, what gave Haman the strength to be able to attack Klal Yisrael was the fact that Klal Yisrael was not unified, but Klal Yisrael was Mefuzar Umefurad Ben Ha'amim. It's post-Galus, it's post-Chorban Bayis, and Klal Yisrael spread out in different places, and they lack a degree of unity. That's why, at the moment when the Megillah shifts a little bit, when Mordechai pushes Esther for a pasuk, we'll speak about this hopefully next week, that is undoubtedly one of the more, I think, inspiring psukim, that Rebach v'atzalab yamol Yehudim mimakom acher, that Mordechai tells Esther, Esther, this is your moment. Klal Yisrael is going to be fine no matter what, but this is your moment. We need you to go approach Achashverosh and start allowing history to unfold in the way that history should, with the Jewish people. Jewish people are going to be saved, etc. So what does Esther do when Esther's getting ready for the terrifying entrance into Achashverosh's inner chambers? Before she's going to go to Achashverosh, what does she do? Vatomer Esther lahashav Mordechai leich kenos es kol Yehudim nimtzam b'shushan, to get and to gather together, leich kenos es kol Yehudim, that the word kenos, not only said very intensely when a Waxman sings it, but as Mefarshim point out, it's even a word that in many ways highlights in a very intense way a form of unity, a form of achdus, to really gather all in together, that a leich kenos es kol Yehudim, that if the problem was B'nai Yisrael was spread out, so now let's unify them, Esther is saying. Let's really be able to unify them. That theme of unity continues to exist, that if the problem was B'nai Yisrael was too spread out, and now they're coming to unify, now they're coming to unify together. So you have it a little bit in the beginning of Parak Tes, source number 3. But in source number 4, we speak about what are the mitzvos hayom that we celebrate on Purim. So classically, it's often said over, the Maharal Nor Chadash describes it nicely in source number 5, that some of the mitzvos that we have on Purim are geared towards strengthening unity. That the mitzvah of Matanos Le'Evyonim is, and here the Maharal is really taking sides in Chakiras, the mitzvah of Matanos Le'Evyonim is not a regular mitzvah of tzedakah, nor is it even, as the Rambam describes in Yontif, the mitzvah of tzedakah, which often kicks in Yontif, that it's a problem in my simcha, if I'm only thinking about myself, and not if I'm thinking about others also. But the way the Maharal describes it, Mibnei Shi Yisrael Am Echad, because Klal Yisrael are one nation. So first the Maharal says, we'll get to the point in a second, that the Jewish people only thrive when they are one. Why do we only thrive when we are unified? Why does Haman attack us when we're not, and we're successful when we're unified? Because part of what B'nai Yisrael is a unique and singular nation. That B'nai Yisrael is Am, they're the Am HaNifchar, they are Am Echad, they're the one unique and singular nation, and part of what gives us our strength is our unique and singular nature. And the extent to which we are coming together as one nation, when the Am Echad has Achdus, so that's what's much, much more powerful. Haman, Amalek, always attacks, says the Maharal, when there's disunity. They always attack when B'nai Yisrael spread out. But what's the purpose of those mitzvos hayom? So why do we have matanos of yonim and mishloach mana? Matanos yonim isn't just tzedakah, isn't just making sure, the way some suggest, the way some achronim have it, that there are people, there's food for su'uda, that all people will be able to celebrate it. But rather, part of what mishloach mana is about and part of matanos of yonim is about is undoubtedly because uvisvilkach bepurim. Bifrat zos ha-mitzvah mishloach manos ishrei eyu matanos avyonim bishvil ki eilu ha-mitzvos heim tluyim bazeh b'masa Yisrael heim am echad b'yoser mikol ha-umos. We aren't just a unique nation. We're supposed to be more united and more singular, more together than others. The problem of Purim starts when there's no unity. Am echad mefuz mefur ben ha-amim. The salvation comes. Leif kenosis kol ha-yehudim. When we have unity, the celebration emerges through strengthening that sense of achdus. And one additional component of this mehalach, which is often said over, is the Gemara Masechta Shabbos and Daf Peches. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that v'yisyati b'tachta sahar, that B'nai Yisrael and Maimon Har Sinai, kafa aleim har kegiges, their bonus olam holds a mountain over the Jewish people, and tells the Jewish people, accept Torah. We weren't going to accept it. We were very scared we weren't going to do it. And their bonus olam tells us, either accept it, Imlav shamte kvuraschem. If not, we're going to bury you. We're going to bury you right here. So Tosfos has the kasha. It's a kasha in the Medrash Tanchuma. Also, why does Klal Yisrael have to be forced into Kabbalas HaTorah? Hare, didn't they already say Naaseh V'Nishma? Didn't we willingly want it? And Tosfos has one suggestion. The Medrash Tanchuma has an additional suggestion. But the Gemara says that we didn't want it. We didn't want Kabbalas Torah. Initially, maybe we did. Maybe we got a little bit scared. Maybe we wanted certain parts and not other parts. Maybe we were good, Naaseh V'Nishma, Medrash Tanchuma for Torah Shebichsav, but we were terrified of Torah Shebaal Peh. I'll take Tanakh, but to take the all of real Torah, all of Shas, that we were a little bit nervous about, maybe didn't yet appreciate its sweetness, and therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam had to say, Shamtik Gores, I'm going to hold a mountain above you. You take it, great. If not, this is where you're going to be buried. But what eventually happened? Moda Araba L'Oraisa. Wait, if we were forced into it, so why is it really so binding? So Gemara tells us, Kimu Masha Kiblu Kvar, that B'mei Chashveiros, we re-accepted Torah. And the time period of Achashveiros was a re-acceptance, of Kabbalas HaTorah. The way that many, again, attributed, the point that many Baalei Machshava note is the following. Is it not coincidental that the first Kabbalas HaTorah comes right after, we're told in Perek Yetes of Sefer Shemos, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Negar Har, as Rashi says, Vayichan Sham Yisrael, Jewish people are referred to as encamping in a lashon of yachid, in a singular lashon, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Negar Har, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, that there's a certain unity that took place before Kabbalas HaTorah. And the way that many understand it, it's not just coincidental. The standard approach is that a prerequisite for Kabbalas HaTorah was a Jewish people to be in a state of unity. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want to give Torah, and a little bit differently, Klal Yisrael is not in as good a place to accept Torah when we're Mefuzar Mefura, when there's no unity, when we're all over the place and things like that. When is there a whole lot more? So when there's unity, Ki Ish Echad, B'Lev Echad, now we're in a position to be Mekabel Torah. And also, that's what you have in Purim. Purim, the unity, the same unity you have pre-Kabbalas HaTorah, you have in Purim also. There's a unity of Purim, of a Leif Nosis Kol Yehudim. It's therefore not coincidental that after that sense of unity, we're then able to have a Kabbalas HaTorah again. A Kimu Masha Kivu Kvar. That sometimes some of the things that bother us, some of the challenges of being Mekabel Torah, exist when I don't feel as comfortable, I don't feel as together, I feel more spread out, I feel like the people next to me, I'm not connecting to as much. The same way, Masha L'mahadavar Adome, a guy is sitting in yeshiva, and he's in yeshiva, I don't know the people around me at all. Not only that, I feel distant from the people all around me. I have no relationships with anyone in the room. It's very hard to have a certain exciting kind of a Kabbalas HaTorah to really want to be as focused in learning. We know it's ourselves intuitively. When I feel much more comfortable in a room, when I feel much more comfortable with the people around me, I do learn a little bit better. It's a different point that you often have. You know, I know this. It's like this when you're in college and you walk into class the first day and you look around and it's a room filled with people that you're friendly with. And it's a professor that right away you see I'm going to like. The learning itself is much better and you have an easier time learning in that class because it is when there's that sense of unity, a sense of connection, it's much easier to thrive. You walk in that first day of class and, whoa, I don't know anyone. The teacher gave out a syllabus that I can't even understand and it seems to be just like way over the top. He doesn't seem to be the nicest guy in the world and I'm sitting there in that class. And sometimes there it's the Kabbalah, the acceptance of learning becomes more of a challenge. We all learn better in situations where we feel more comfortable. We all learn better in situations like that. Can we overcome that? Undoubtedly. But sometimes there is an achdus, which comes as a prerequisite for being mekabel Torah. And it's true in other realms also, when that's really there. The first, again, always to do thus far, is really just share with you what I think is a classic approach to what's unique about Purim, a classic approach to some of the unique qualities of it. It caused a problem. Amalek typically attacks Haman when there's disunity, when we're not together, and it comes together, that's where things become a little bit smoother. That's all just a little bit of a hakdama. I'll give you an additional twist, just an additional kinach in it. Reb Tzadok, in source number 9, the sefer called Yisrael Kedoshim. Tzadok was a prolific author. I think we lost a lot of his svarim. I think at least a bunch of his svarim we lost, I think. But we have a lot of Reb Tzadok svarim. He wrote a lot. We have, even who are at a young age also, we have his like bar mitzvah drasha, we have from a young age. Reb Tzadok, it's amazing because he was writing his whole life. Reb Tzadok did not grow up as a chassid, and then he became a chassid. Even if he became a chassid, he was more of like a, not a classic chassid in the same way. But you can even like see some development in Reb Tzadok's writings as far as like, what did he write when, and where was he at, and what sources is he quoting, different kinds of ideas in writing to Reb Tzadok. So if you saw Kedoshim, Reb Tzadok writes the following. The point of unity is something else also. The goal of the unity of Purim and the goal of the unity is just to clarify. Umishloach manos utikin haruach. I'm not going to get into what that means. Shu al yedei hischabra she'enu bad v'yachidi. We're not alone. Shebazez zochelis kachas harbe. If you want to really be zochel, it's just an interesting idea. We sometimes think that the way to find real kedusha is through isolation. That kedusha can come through a person removing themselves from others, through a person sitting in a room by themselves. That's one model of Kedusha. That's an orientation that certain people have. Sometimes that's not true. Shebazen nuchal, the way that you get more Kedusha is dafka by connecting with other people. Shebazen zochel eskachas harbe. Ki kol echad mi Yisrael yesho Kedusha pratis. Every Jew has his own individual Kedusha. Every Jew's endowed with a Kedusha. So I have Kedusha, and you have Kedusha, but my Kedusha is an individual Kedusha, and your Kedusha is an individual Kedusha. Individually, we are a bunch of people that on our own are holy. But rak kishakula mischabrim yachad, when all Klai Yisrael comes together, as kol echa yachol lichlo atzmo b'chol ha-kedushos. Wow. When there's real unity, you know what that allows me to do? It isn't just there's a better final product because all of our Kedushos come together. But the more that you're really close, the more you can also tap into your friend's unique form of Kedusha. That I myself become bigger because I'm not just my own sense of holiness, but I'm able to connect to embrace, to become one with your Kedusha also. That the way you get Kedusha, said to Tzadok, and here's the important insight, Kedusha is part of a perms about it, but Yom that's Kadosh, it's not the Kadosh of isolation, it's the Kadosh of togetherness. In that sense, the Yom Kippurim, part of the two sides of the same coin, Yom Kippur's Kedusha involves a degree of unity also, but Yom Kippur's Kedusha also involves a degree of almost like alone a little bit. Yom Kippur, it's a lot of tzibor, but a little bit. Purim is very, very much in an intense way focused also on this idea of togetherness. That's why there's Mechila, Erev Yom Kippur, to bring people together. Well, Mechila, those Erev Yom Kippur, to cause Achlas, as the Torah describes in Chas Yom Kippur. So that's what Mishloach Manos is doing in regards to Purim. It's about forming a certain kind of Achlas. We do better when we are together. Okay. Sfas Emes comes along, and Sfas Emes says, based on that, with that general insight in mind, let's develop some interesting ideas. Let's develop some interesting ideas. And some of this, again, part of what we're trying to do is to appreciate a little bit what Sfas Emes does, both from like a methodological perspective. He works off Midrashim. He works off what kind of things he works off of. And also just the unique elements of his Machshava. But hopefully we'll be able to appreciate a couple of things about Purim. Sfas Emes, I think, does what I would say are three things in addition to this Mahalach that I think are powerful. I can't say that no one else does. I can say Sfas Emes does it in three ways. Number one, he takes this Mahalach to a couple additional contexts. The first thing that he does. Sfas Emes, as an example, Purim, Tuf Reish Nun Gimel. Sfas Emes writes as follows. You know, there was a time, writes other pieces also, Bizman Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. All of Klal Yisrael would physically come together to unify Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana. Shalosh Regalim, there was a time, unity, we did not mean just like, I feel a connection. We meant, Pshuto Kamashmo, you're Ola Regel. The Jews are all together. Says Sfas Emes, it's not just Mishloach Manos and Matanos Lev Yonim that are structured in order to bring unity. But says Sfas Emes as follows. It's not coincidental. It's found also about Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah is also a way of bringing unity, of bringing people together, because while it's true that if I'm alone in a room, I'm still chayiv in Mikra Megillah, says Fas Emes, the Iker Mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah has to be done B'tzibor. The Iker Mitzvah is done with Asara. It's done Lachin Iker Mitzvah Megillah Ba'asara, Mishpacha O Mishpacha, Lirmos, She Iker HaYeshua Haya, His Asvas B'nei Yisrael Lavoel HaAchtas. Says the Sfas Emes, isn't just Mishloach Manos, Emetels of Yonim, that are about unity. Mikra Megillah is also about unity. It's a different form of unity, but it's also about unity. The way Megillah's Esther is supposed to be read, it's supposed to be read, it's part of Iker Mitzvah, Persume Nisa. It's a Persume Nisa which takes place Birabim, Bitzibor. It's a Persume Nisa which takes place with lots of other people. Akde Kach, interestingly enough, for some days in Rishonim, the Asara you need may not only be men. Hagos Ashri, I think, has some Sech Megillah. It could be that women also count for this, because the goal is not Tzibor. The goal is Achtos and Rabim. The goal is being with people. The goal is being not a halachic chalosh shem Tzibor. And the Mikra Megillah is also geared towards a form of Achtos. That's also, that's one place where he extends it. That's one place where he extends it. The second thing he does is provide us in another very, I would say, powerful insight. It's also an extension, but in a very fundamental way, for where the source of this Achdus comes. Where's the source of this Achdus? So here, the Sfas Emes introduces a Yesod. Part of this is a Yesod Sfas Emes has in a couple of contexts. But let's start as follows. We noted in the way beginning when we started learning about Sfas Emes, Sfas Emes works off Midrashim a lot. He works off of Midrashim. So Sfas Emes, the Midrash in Esther Rabbah, has a couple wild lines. We know that if you pay attention to Mefarshim, you'll find some that really emphasize the role of Esther and some that really emphasize the role of Mordechai, and at least in certain elements. And in reality, they were a team that worked together in a very powerful way. But Sfas Emes, at least in certain pieces, emphasized the unique role of Mordechai. Look at the Medrash in Esther Rabbah. It's a wild idea. Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Habira. Mordechai's introduction is so interesting as far as the genealogy of it. Asher Hagla Mirushalayim, the Eicha tune, which is very, very powerful at those moments, that he's a Jew from a different era. He's like a Jew from a different time. The genealogy doesn't always line up. We're skipping generations in the genealogy that Chazal described in Gemara Masechet Megillah, where we're skipping generations. We're connecting him. He's an Ish Yehudi, or he's from Binyamin. Like where's he really from? It's hard to know. Says Ish. The Medrash like picks apart each word describing Mordechai. Ish. Ish melame chayash Mordechai shakal bedoro kimoshe bedoro. Mordechai was, Moshe is called v'ha'ish Moshe. Mordechai is called Ish. Step one of the Medrash. Mordechai is the Moshe of his generation. That, by the way, is always a wild idea. The Ikari Emuna is at the unique status of Moshe Rabbeinu. When the Rambam writes in Perek Hei of Hilchos Tshuva that anyone could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, Mefarshim explains that doesn't really mean that. It means a potential, Rav Chanan writes. But it's very, to compare people to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yiftach Bedoro, Kishmuel Bedoro, for sure, Moshe Bedoro, Mordechai Bedoro, Kimoshe Bedoro, that's a very wild and intense comparison. Not only that, but the comparisons go on. Moshe withstood certain challenges, Mordechai also. Ma Moshe Lime Torah Li Yisrael. Moshe is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe taught us Torah. Also Mordechai. Af Mordechai Chen. Mordechai also taught us Torah. That's the Ish. What's the Yehudi? What does it mean that Mordechai is a Jew? The Mefarshim are bothered. What do you mean Mordechai is the Yehudi? Ish Yehudi. There was a Jew in Shushan. What do you mean there's a Jew in Shushan? There are tons of Jews in Shushan. The Mefarshim were so bothered by the phrase of Ish Yehudi. So the Medrash darshans each word here. What does Yehudi mean? V'lama nikra shmo Yehudi, v'alo yeminihu. It's from Shevet Binyamin. Ela lefi, sheyichet shmo shalkar zbaruchu, keneged kol bai olam. Mordechai is someone who brought the name of God to all bai olam. He revealed a recognition. He revealed a reality to the world of the Ribbono shel Olam. He was not willing to bow down. And what that ended up He unified the name of Ribbono Shel Olam. Ulefisha Yichet Shemo Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. Nikra Yehudi Lomar Yehudi Yechidi. He's the singular Jew. He's the one that represents Yechidi. He's the one that on his own brought a revelation of the Word of God to the world. That's who he was. He's Ish like Moshe, Yehudi on his own. Says the Medrash to go on. The Medrash says, also, Yeshomim, no, forget Moshe Rabbeinu. Shayashakol ke'Avraham Avinu bedoro. He's like Avraham. Mordechai's compared to, these are the two most transformative figures in the history of Klal Yisrael. Avram begins Klal Yisrael, the introduction of monotheism. Avram begins it all. And Moshe, as Moshe Rabbeinu, brings down Torah. And the comparisons are not cute comparisons. They're substantive. It says in Medrash, how are Avraham and Mordechai similar? Because Avraham Avinu muster its asmo l'toch kivshan ha'esh. Avraham Avinu brought himself into a burning furnace. And as a result of going into kivshan ha'esh, v'hichzer v'hikir lebrios gadluso shel kadosh baruch hu. That Avraham Avinu transformed. Avraham Avinu recognized within, through that act, he brought a recognition of God to the Jewish, to the whole world. That was what it was. Avraham Avinu goes in, he stands up, I don't believe in these idols, I'm going to go in the fire, walks in the fire, walks out alive. And the whole world says, oh my God, there must be a God. Oh my God, there must be something that's really there. He brought back a reality that was known generations ago, but the world forgot about. So too. That's the same thing. Af Mordechai b'yamav. Hikiru ha-brios, gadlus shel kadosh baruch hu. Mordechai's role was Mordechai brought back. He's the one Jew sitting there in a world in which Klal Yisrael is sitting at the Seuda of Achashverosh. Klal Yisrael is bowing down to the idol that's on Haman. Klal Yisrael is bowing down to him. And Mordechai lo yichavu l'shachav. And Mordechai's not buying into this stuff at all. Mordechai won't do this. And Mordechai gets up, and Mordechai doesn't just do it for himself. He is the beginning, just like Avraham and just like Moshe. They are revolutionary figures. They're revolutionary figures. That's what Mordechai is. That's who Mordechai is. Sfasemes is going to argue the following. The entire achdus that Klal Yisrael had, it all comes by way of Mordechai. Mordechai is the one that brings it. Mordechai is the Yechidi. Mordechai is the singular one. Mordechai is the one that represents Mordechai HaYehudi. He's the Jew who's going to bring everyone together. You often need, in moments of unity, they often need a singular figure in the beginning to bring people together. There's almost never unity when there isn't a powerful leader there arguing for certain ideals, representing a certain kind of a mission. That's always what brings people together. That is the job of Mordechai. Sfas Emes has a particular misora, a particular perspective in this. And let's see where this comes from. There's a journal called Heichal HaBesht. It's a journal, I think it comes out through Chabad. I don't know if it's through Chabad or through Vizhnitz, I don't remember. But it's a journal that comes out, articles in Torah Chassidus. There's an article about this in the thought of the Chidush Sfas Emes, the following yisod. We'll start it like this. In every generation, whenever there's going to be a need for a salvation, whenever Klal Yisrael is in Galus, there are always tzaddikim that are on some level, it looks like they are physically in Galus, maybe, but they totally do not function and are not actually really part of that Galus at all. Not really part of that at all. It's in a certain sense elements of a Yaakov Avinu that could be in Mitzrayim, but Anochi, Ered Mitzrayim, the Ribbono Shel Olam, tells Yaakov, don't worry, you'll always be with me. And the way that some explain it, Ishbitzer has it very beautifully in Parshas Vayigash, Yaakov, even when you're in Mitzrayim, you're really still in Eretz Yisrael. You're really still tapping into Eretz Yisrael. You're not really there the same way. The way that, as an example, Moshe Rabbeinu is the leader of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu is not really in Galus. Moshe Rabbeinu is above and beyond Galus. Moshe Rabbeinu can come in and out from power whenever he wants. And the way it often works, there are always every generation when Klal Yisrael is in Galus, there are tzaddikim that are not really part of that Galus. And what those tzaddikim are able to do, this is part of the slave mentality, when you're entirely in it, it's sometimes hard to be elevated beyond it. If everyone's really in that gullus, it's sometimes hard to imagine what a different life could look like. What it means, well, you have to have a singular figure to sometimes unite and to elevate and to bring out, to give a model for what things could be and to give a model for a certain kind of unity. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Says Fasam is the following Torah. That is Mordechai. Mordechai is a Jew who is in Galus, but he's not in Galus at all. He's not really in Galus at all. Says Fasam is point number one. The Gemara Maseches Megillah and Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The next pasuk, Asher Haglat Mirushalayim. Chazal are sensitive to the way the pasuk is formulated, and Chazal say the following: Asher Hagla Mirushalayim. Then you can make use offer another drink if you want. The Asher Hagla Mirushalayim. Yeah, that's why you're in a good spot right now, because there is none. Asher Hagla Mirushalayim Shegala Me'atzmo. Shegala Me'atzmo. The Gemara tells us Mordechai willingly chose to go into Gullus. Mordechai was not forced into Gullus. He chose to go into Gullus. Mordechai is the tzaddik that's not bound by Gullus. Every generation has a tzaddik. This is why Fasem is chassidic. You know, the tzaddik who's not bound by that. He chose to go in. And the Medrash tells us in Medrash Rabbah there, Haya. Haya, B'shushan Abira, Haya always conveys a certain model of consistency. Tchilaso and Sofo. Haya, he was, he is. Says the Medrash, Kol Mishan Emar Bo Haya, Hu Tchilaso, Hu Sofo. In many ways, Mordechai is not going to be impacted by the ups and downs of history that much. He's in Geula, he's in Gullus. Mordechai is the same Mordechai. And says the Medrash, just like Moshe is Mesukan LeGeula, Mordechai Haya Mesukan LeGeula. Mordechai and Moshe are these above, these figures that are not bound. They're not bound by Gullus. That, says Tfasem, is a very powerful piece here in Tuf Reish Nun. That's why Mordechai can't bow down. He can't bow down to Haman. Why isn't Mordechai bowing down to Haman? Because for Mordechai, I'm not in Gullus. And part of what Mordechai had to bring to the Jewish people was the reality that you could be there in Shushan, and Shushan is not the permanent reality. Shushan is not the way you have to define your existence. You are always sitting there in Gullus, nor do you have to assume that this is the only way it's ever always going to be. Rather, when Mordechai was there, Mordechai was there to teach Klal Yisrael. Look at it, source number 16. The Megillas Esther Ish Yehudi. The Medrash, he was Mukhan LeGeula. That Mordechai is ready. He's there like Moshe Rabbeinu for Geula. Lodia. Ki bechol Gullus, Kosh Baruch Hu, Mechin Tzadik Asher Hu Eino Begullus, V'nichnas Bein HaGolim, Ki Yosachana LeGeula. V'lachein Ksiv, Mordechai lo yichra, she had muchan shol yichra. He wasn't going to bow. He couldn't bow down. He's not in Gullus. That, look, you know how this one, Tfas Emes, the Tuf Reish Mem Aleph, says Tfas Emes, that's why Mordechai is the unifying figure. You want to talk about Achdus, it all comes by way of Mordechai. He's the Ish Yehudi, the Yechidi, the Medrash says. He's singular and he is unique. He's not bound by the normal structure of things. Mordechai at Tzadik, Icha Osam. V'nis'achtu ayadei ki haya lo koach ha'achdus hanal. Koach of Yechidi. Mordechai knew he was singular and he was unique, and he knew how to bring people together. That was his mission, that was his job. Purim is a day of Achdus, but it's Achdus that happens by way of the unique figure of Mordechai. That Mordechai is the one who's able to, he put himself into Gullus for this purpose. Haglat me'atzmo. He came on his own to be there. He came there to teach the people of Shushan something. He came there not to bow down. He came there to be model of a life of geula, of a life of singularity, in a nation that was going to be mefuzar u'mefurad bein ha'amim. That was the mission of Mordechai. Tfasemis goes one step further. It isn't just that he expands it to Mikra Megillah. He isn't just, and as others do, I'm sure also, isn't just that he introduces to us the powerful role of Mordechai, powerful as that is, but he gives us the mechanics of it. How does Achdus really work? What's Achdus actually about? What's the Yesod Hadavar? You ever like wondered? I always was intrigued by this question. Mishloach Manos is about Achdus. Who cares about Achdus? Like, why is that so valuable? It's an odd way of asking the question. Like, why? Okay, we have unity. Let's think that we all fulfill all mitzvahs ayom, and there is no unity bichlal. Why does that matter? So for Reb Tzadok, we saw, Reb Tzadok says because you are by definition limited in your kedusha, you only have your individual kedusha, and only when you have kedusha with other people, only if kedusha when you're around others, will you be able to experience kedusha done properly. Only then will you really be able to have it. But for Tfas Emes, it's something else also. Tfas Emes Purim Tuf Reish Lamed Aleph. Please listen up. If you've been, again, my goal is at the Shiram on some level give us a perspective in the world of Jewish thought that is a very influential one in Tfas Emes. You find this in lots of contemporary Sfarim also. But the more that we're holding and familiar with some ideas of Tfas Emes, the more we're likely to see, to be able almost to intuit certain mahalachim of his. Tfas Emes is as follows. I'm sorry, you don't have this on the sheet. Mishloach Manos, Nira. What's the point of Mishloach Manos? Nira lavo la'ahavas Yisrael. Shaksiv ish Yehudi of Medrus Yechidi. That part of Mishloach Manos also is about bringing people together, a certain kind of Ahavas Yisrael. To east of Hatalich Kamocha, Zekla Gadda B'Torah, it's a fundamental precept of having Achdus. Haperish. We spoke about this in the beginning. There are two ways of looking at this world. There are two ways of looking at existence. I can either look at existence and I could see lots of different things. I see lots of, I see books, I see a shtender, I see lots of different things. Or, I'll give you a cute way of saying it. One of the great thinkers of Judaism in the last 60 years, a very out-of-the-box thinker, had the following line. It's a Purim line. We're not talking about drinking right now. I'll just give you the line. He said, there's a difference between drinking in an unholy way and drinking in a holy way, if we're holding in the shtickle. If you drink in an unholy way, instead of seeing two, you see four. Instead of seeing five, you see ten. Everything is double vision. Like, you see multiple things. When you drink in a holy way, you only see one. When you drink in a holy way, you only see one. When you drink in a holy way, you only see Achdus of Bor Yisbarach. That there's a, it says Tfas Emes. Kisha Adam, we spoke about this, there's Nekuda Pnimius. There's a unifying element of godliness in everything in this world. Part of our avoda is to find that unique koach of godliness in each and everything in this world. We spoke about this, you know, a couple weeks ago. Ayin Hara is when you don't see that connection. When I don't see a connection between this object and the Ribbono Shel Olam, I separate it. Part of the way a person sees the world is to be able to see only in a certain holy way. I perceive the world. I really look at everything and I see its connection to Ribbono Shel Olam. I see where there's Kedusha, there's Nekuda Pnimius. There's a certain singular Nekuda that's found in every person in Klal Yisrael. I see a Klal Yisrael. I say that they're all coming from the same source. There's a Tselem Elokim that's found within each and every one of them. There's a certain kind of unifying force. And when I look at that, it's a source of Achdus. Achdus is the outgrowth. Please pay to the following line. Achdus is the outgrowth of seeing the world for the way it really is. Achdus is what happens when you perceive reality based not on the physical appearance of how things look, but based on the metaphysical reality that exists. Based on the knowledge that says Tfas Emes, Kishe'adam Dovuk B'Nekuda Chiyus HaPnimius. When you are tapped into the fact that there is a source of inner Kedusha found in everything, V'sham, Kol B'nei Yisrael Echad, we all have a same point of Kedusha, Memela Ohev L'Re'enu Gamke. That's where Achdus comes from. It's not, what's the point of Achdus? So I think it's just a powerful insight. For the Tzadok, it's Al Yedei Achdus, I have more Kedusha. For the Tfas Emes, if you look, Achdus is the fallout. It's not I need Achdus to experience more Kedusha. It's the opposite. If you look at the world the way it really is, there's no way not to feel Achdus. If you look at the world and you see all Jews, I don't see Jews who look like they're very different. They do look different. I don't see Jews that just speak differently and act differently. But if I see them for who they are, not in the physical, but in the spiritual reality, I see them as people that have a source of Kedusha found within them. Then, Mimela Ohev L'Re'ehu Gam came. And that was what Mordechai was able to do. When Mordechai Haya Klal Kol Yisrael, Mordechai was a Jew that looked at all Jews, he's the one who only sees Yichud Hashem. Mordechai is the one that brought that to Klal Yisrael. Leich Kenos Es Kol Yehudim is the avoda of bringing that together, which Mordechai always saw. Ayadei Ha'ava Shanasa Echad Yechol Ligrim Tzchuso HaKol Yisrael. Mordechai felt such a connection to all of Klal Yisrael. He was able to then impact them. He could spread it over because there's nothing as powerful as the impact that comes from unity. When Mordechai felt he saw Jews, this way he saw them in a certain way, you know, it's like sometimes if someone sees you as something, so you yourself get elevated as a result. If someone sees you as someone who's really holy, so you yourself sometimes can experience a greater sense of holiness. And if Mordechai is able to look at Klal Yisrael and see Klal Yisrael as people who have an Akuda Pnimis, people who are mamish rooted in the same shoresh of Kedusha. So when you know Mordechai looks at you that way, you begin to look at yourself differently also. And that reality that sometimes I was covered up, I was at Siddur V'Achashverosh, and I was an Am that's Mefuz Mefurad Bein Ha'amim. And Am Mefuz Mefurad means I'm disconnected, I'm spread out. But Mordechai looked at me, and Mordechai said, no, it doesn't have to be this way. And that's not who you really are. You're supposed to be there being Nenef and Tzvachas Verosh. You're a person that comes from a Shoresh. You come from a holy source. And that holy source unifies us and makes us one. And I'm going to remind you, I'm going to be annoying. I'm not going to bow down to Haman. I'm not going to play into that game. And you, elements of the Jewish people, are going to be upset with me. Just buy into it. You're causing us problems. And Mordechai is going to say, I'm not the one that's causing you problems. I'm the one that's the source of your real salvation. I'm setting the stage for Geula. Geula comes when there's real Achdus. Tzfas Emes writes in Parshas Vayechi, Hey Asu Vahagidu Lachem, Esher Yikul Lachem is Achdus HaYamar of the Pasuk. I messed up a little bit. Yaakov Avinu tells the Jewish people, gather together, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, Achdus HaYamar. It says Rashi, Bikesh Lagal Lachem is Akeitz. That when Yaakov Avinu was sitting there with his whole family together, Yaakov Chazal state was going to reveal the time of the eventual Geula. It says Tzfas Emes because only when there's real Achdus in Klal Yisrael, real Achdus, all of Klal Yisrael, around Yaakov's bed, now we can speak about Lagal Lachem. Now we can speak about Geula. That the source of Achdus, when Jews perceive reality accurately, when you see a world in which, I don't deal with different people, I see a lot of Jews that are all rooted and have within them an element of Kedusha. When you start viewing the world that way, when Klal Yisrael comes together that way, wow, now we're able to perceive things in a bit of a different way. Now we can perceive things in a different way. That's part of the Avodah of Shabbos Zachar. Part of the Avodah of Shabbos Zachar also is that Mali sees things differently. It's a Shabbos when Bnei Yisrael comes together. Tzfas Emes connects that to the Medrash, to the Gemara Masech Shabbos. So when Klal Yisrael keeps Shabbos, the Geula comes, because Shabbos is a time of unity, and the more unity that we have, the more we're in position for Geula. A lot of very powerful ideas. What we tried to point out today, I'll just chazer what we did, is a well-known Mahalach. It's a well-known Mahalach about the power of Achdus. Achdus and Purim, and Refuz, and Refuah, Lechon, Kol Yehudim, Shalach, Marzi, Shalai, Ehu, Kabbalah, Zatorah, Vichon, Sham Yisrael, Negar, Ahar, Vichulei. Says Tzfas Emes, number one, let's expand it to additional areas. Number two, let's perceive in a real way the role of Mordechai in this. And number three, let's think about what Achdus is actually about. Achdus is not, let's have Achdus so that. Let's perceive the world accurately, and Memela will have Achdus. And when you have Achdus, you'll have Geula. And part of the message of Mordechai, I think it's so powerful. Purim is the yontif that takes place outside of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says that there's no halal. One day in the Gemara, Mesechta Megillah, there's no halal. Because it took place in Chutz La'aretz. Part of the message of Purim, is to teach us how to thrive in Galus, how a person could be in Galus but not be in Galus, how a person could learn how to accurately perceive the world even in Shushan Habira, the source of that kind of a Seuda that was filled with inappropriate. A person can always perceive Kedusha amongst other people. A person can always perceive Kedusha in themselves. And we should be Zocha. We should be Zocha to begin to look at the world with a sense of Achdus. To look at the world not for the way it looks superficially, but the way it looks metaphysically. The way it works, the way it looks, I'll leave it to MS. There's a certain inner point of Kedusha, which is really there. To see in others, see in ourselves. When you look at others, and you look at them as people who have a degree of Kedusha, what will happen is they also begin to see themselves a certain way. And together, by looking at people the right way, and us looking at ourselves the right way, we could be Zocha to perceive the world accurately, to experience a certain form of Achdus. And as Tzfas Emes writes, when Jews come together with Achdus, we should be Zocha to a Geula Shlema. Shkaya, guys, have a wonderful Shabbos.